Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
No, I think that whatever was wrong, I think got solved on Sunday. I think Amari needed to kind of get refocused a little bit, get rededicated, and he did that. He gut checked himself, and he got himself back on track. So I don't think that this is going to be an ongoing issue for them. I think he's going to be an asset for Deshaun Watson going forward. And then when you bring David Njoku back into the mix, then he'll have his top two targets back out there. That will help a lot.
Oh, that was Mary Kay Cabot just moments ago on Baskin and Phelps talking about the relationship between Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson out on the field. And is that as real as maybe you thought it was going into the game, that there might have been a lack of chemistry? All right, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Hogwash.
Hogwash, says Jeff. Jeff is going to disprove the theory of the lack of chemistry in just a moment. Rel is in Cleveland. Hi, Rel.
Hello, Rel.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
How are you?
Morning, afternoon. Yeah, I'm good, man. Just listening to you guys. I love to see y'all. Y'all my favorite dude. Y'all Eddie.
Thank you.
Y'all was asking a question about, and you know, how can you fix the Browns? And you asked Mary Kay, and I love listening to Mary Kay because she's very knowledgeable and smart about what she's talking about. And I think we all know that they got that offensive line issues, and that they could do better. They could do better up front with their protections. Now we're dealing with the injury bug with that offensive line. We've really been dealing with it all year. But last I checked, they started the season with four of the five starters from last year. You know what I'm saying? Like so I'm confused. Like the line can play better, but this is a good offensive line. Like up until recent years, and I mean this is an offensive line that gets respected throughout the league and amongst his peers and everything. So I'm scratching my head and wondering, like, what is going on? And Dan, I got your back, brother. You are right. I watched Joe Petonio, and I love him. We talk about Hall of Fame, but I watched this man get thrown around like a rag doll the first two or three games of this season. It just makes absolutely no sense to me. And when you ask, how can you fix something, and I'm confused at what are we trying to fix? I mean, if I go in the toilet and use the toilet and it's not working, I can tell that the handle needs fixing, so I'll replace the handle. With this team, I don't know where to start. And as a Browns fan, it gets so frustrating because it's like year in and year out, we're having these same old routine conversations about this team, and I'm confused. Listen, I don't know. I usually don't even call a team bad until like the fourth or fifth week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about our team. I'm talking about just amongst the whole league because I watched this game. I've been loving this game since I was 8 years old. So I'm able to tell you exactly who you are at least by week five.
All right,
I don't want to call this Browns team a bad football team, but they're exhibiting bad habits like week in and week out. 2 weeks in a row, they showed up unprepared. And in this league, you get embarrassed when you show up unprepared. So maybe the fix is in between their ears and they can show up prepared. Thanks, guys.
Rel, thank you.
Thanks, Rel.
I think the aggravating part is like when you walk away and you still hear the water running for like 2 or 3 minutes and you're like, oh, the thing didn't catch. So then you got to go back in. You got to take the top off.
Got to lift it up.
And then all you have to do is just like –
touch
like,
it a little.
It's just a touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that little balloon thing finally hits the mark it's supposed to. And then the water stops running.
We're just pour a bunch of water in.
Toilet talk here on Baskin and Phelps. Doesn't get any better than that. All right, Jeff.
Toilets!
That's right. I think he's right to a point. You know, I think Rel hit a lot of good spots on there that I think we all kind of look at this. And I thought Rel was leaning back towards saying maybe this is coaching issues. Maybe that more of this is on the coaching staff than it is on the players. Players have to execute on the field, though. That's the only thing. I sit here and there are times when I really think, wow, we got outcoached, or what was Kevin thinking on that play? Why didn't they run the ball more? Why didn't they do this and that? And I think those are legit questions after a loss. I think after a win, we sit around and go, oh, they ran the ball just enough to get the victory. That's all we care about. All it is a win in the win column. We do that all the time. It's just frustrating. They're frustrating to watch, aren't they? They're a frustrating team to watch right now.
Well, sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
It's hard to argue with that right now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Let's go back to what Mary Kay said. You know, we were asking about Mary Kay, and we were talking about the chemistry with Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper. I thought it was significantly better on Sunday. I thought you could not have asked for a better first play, confidence-wise, from your leading receiver, which was a spectacular catch, too, because he was covered, and a great throw from Deshaun on the first play offensively where they scored the touchdown. And I thought, this is great. Were there some moments a little bit later in the game where I think he had – how many drops did he have in the game? Two? I know he had at least one. And I was like, oh, here we go again. What's going on? Why can't they connect? Is there a dysfunction to your leading receiver and your starting quarterback?
I don't think that's the case. You know, Amari, leading up to the game against the Giants, said, I've not played up to what I want to play up to, and I'll take care of that, and he did. I thought he played really well. I went back and took a look. And if you look at Amari's career, you know, he's had some games like the first two games. You know, there have been some moments where it's like, boy, is he out there? What's going on? But he always bounces back. He's a very consistent guy. He is prone to having these huge games that kind of skew things a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that last year. But I went back to last year because, you know, I've heard a lot, well, Amari and Deshaun, blah, 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 blah. Last year, in five games with Deshaun Watson, and I just broke it down, the five games where Deshaun played, and so I didn't count the Colts game where he didn't, you know, he threw like one or two passes and then got hurt. He caught 28 passes in five games with Deshaun. In four games with Joe Flacco, he caught 25. So that was three fewer. Mm-hmm. And in six games with DTR and P.J. Walker, he caught 19. So the issues, if he had any issues last year, were probably with the young guys trying to fill in, right? More games, fewer catches.
Mm-hmm.
Yardage-wise, it was real similar. Five games with Watson, it was 480. Four games with Flacco, it was 485. But remember, he had that 265-yard receiving game against Houston.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that skewed anything because that's, I mean, terrific. You want games like that. But that's why that yardage total is so high. And then he had one more touchdown with Flacco than he did with Deshaun, and none with the other guys. So
yeah.
So his production with Flacco and his production with Watson, real, real similar. And I don't think there's any issue between those guys when it comes to chemistry on the field. It was really building last year,
right,
when Deshaun got hurt.
But you know, here's the funny part. So we both talked about this, and I think
it was the year before, though, with Jacoby Brissett than it was with Deshaun. That is true. So, but I thought they took care of that last year.
Looking at the first two games this season, it did feel like their chemistry was off. It just didn't – nothing seemed right. Like, they just –
Yeah, but was it their chemistry or was it Amari saying, I didn't play up to my expectations?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So that means that the chemistry wasn't working. But it drove me nuts because, you know, what I was watching was making me think, man, he had so much success with Joe last year that you're like, why doesn't this seem to be happening as easy? Is it the way that Deshaun throws the ball compared to the way that Joe throws the ball? And so, you know, and there had been rumblings maybe a little bit about maybe that was the case, but you know, you go back and you look at those numbers, Jeff, and you're 100% right. You know, his last three games with Flacco before he got hurt at the end of the season, you know, 265 yards, we talked about that game, 109 against Chicago, 77 against Jacksonville. And the numbers were similar, or even if you look at the last three games he had with Deshaun, the numbers were not as many yards, but the targets, he had more targets with Deshaun than he did with Joe. And so I was like, oh. And then I went back and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to read headlines from last year. And one of the headlines is, Channel 3 had it, the chemistry between Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper is off. That was last year. So, you know, so I'm like, huh.
Beg to differ.
Yeah, and so I'm just kind of looking at these quick headlines that were off the charts, I should say. Isn't that deceiving? You go and you look at it online, you're like, oh, they're off. They're, no, it's off the charts is what they said. But there was also talk about, you know, just how these two were able to play together. But I do think you're right, Jeff, that the reason that might be thought of so heavily is that 265-yard game.
Well, and I think that was an incredible game. You know, and Amari's had some of those throughout his career, Andy, where he's just gone nuts. In fact, he's usually good for one of those a year, it seems. But he's had some amazing games during his career.
What,
226 back in 2019 when he was playing for Dallas. I mean, just some big games. 217 the year before against Philly.
And then, you know, last year, just looking at the game log, he had, he had five games with over 100 yards receptions. Last year, although he had that 98-yard game against Baltimore, so I don't know.
He's good.
I'll give him the curve on that one.
And he and Deshaun have no issues. At least it's not reflected in the productivity. How's that? It's real comparable. Last year, whether it was Flacco or whether it was Deshaun, it was different when it was the other guys. And that's okay because those guys, I don't think, are the caliber of quarterback that Deshaun Watson is or that Joe Flacco was last year for this team.
He had eight games of more than 89 yards last year. Eight, you know, between all the quarterbacks that they use. So, I don't know. They just need to get him going. Really? Isn't that what it's all about, Jeff?
Better because he might not be here next year. I mean, they didn't want to extend him. And by not wanting to extend him, I think that sends a message. They did, you know, rework some things and give him some money. Personally, I think the guy is a terrific wide receiver. I don't think he's CeeDee Lamb. You know, I don't think he's, you know, absolute top of the heap. But I'm glad he's on this team, and he's certainly the top of the heap here.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching him play, so I hope they can figure something out. I hope he stays here for a long time. But I'm wondering how they're going to look at the roster next year when you look at your offensive line that's got a lot of guys that are at 30 and above. And so I'm wondering how they're going to reassess that. By the way, you got to look at it right now because you've got to rebuild. And so that's the situation they're in. Hey, last night, a little bit of unique perspective on our Monday night games, the way they played it out last night with two games. Last night, we got two games next week on Monday night. Did you like it? Was it good for your viewing pleasure? Let me know. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. Plus, we are going to talk Guardians with Paul Hoynes. Hey, Hoynesy, coming up at noon right here, Baskin and Phelps. 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.